ever since David had killed Goliath, the Israelites wanted him to be their king. You recall the story how that Jesse had come to, I'm sorry, Samuel had come to the house of Jesse to anoint one of the sons of Jesse to be king over Israel. Now, this son was not to be king immediately, but the Spirit of the Lord had departed from King Saul, and one of the sons of Jesse had been chosen by the Lord to rule someday over the king, over the country of Israel. Seven of Jesse's sons were brought before Samuel. I'm trying to think of a few of the names. I think Eliab was one. And my memory serves me correctly. One of the names, Shema. I'm not sure of that. But anyway, there were three of them named. And you recall how that Samuel said, Eliab is not the one. Jesse said, how about my boy, Shema? And Samuel said, he's not the one. And Jesse said, how about my next boy? And Samuel said, he's not the one. And one after the other was presented by Jesse to the prophet Samuel. Samuel finished observing the seven sons that were brought before him, and he said, none of these boys is the one to be anointed king. Do you have another son? And Jesse said, yes, little David. Samuel said, bring him before me, let me see him. The Bible says that David was brought before Samuel. The Bible says two or three things. One thing, it says he was a ruddy boy. Another thing, it says they're beautiful to look upon. Fellows in the front, son, hey, turn around. This is the sermon now. Everybody, because you're keeping four or five behind you from listening to. David was a ruddy-faced fella and a beautiful fellow to look upon. And so David was anointed king. Now, David wasn't king then. He was anointed king. That means that someday in the future, David would be the king of all of Israel. Then you recall the story how that when the giant Goliath, who I think is about 9 feet, 9 inches tall, of the Philistine army was breathing out threatenings against the people of Israel and challenging them to send a captain representing them to fight him, the victor would be, or the victor of that battle would offer victory to the nation they represented. For example, if Goliath won over the captain of Israel, then the Philistines would win the war, win the battle, declare victors. And if the captain of Israel, representing the Israelites, were to defeat Goliath, then Israel would win. You recall the story. David came to bring some victuals to his brothers who were in the army. They didn't take him seriously. King Saul was the one who should have fought Goliath. He was head and shoulders above all the other Jews. He was afraid, wouldn't fight. You recall how that David stepped up and took the slingshot and 5 stones. Somebody said, how come David took 5 stones? Didn't he just need one to lick Goliath? Yeah, but if you'll check the scriptures, you'll find Goliath had 4 brothers. And David thought he may have to lick the whole shooting match before he got through. So he got 5 stones, so he might have to lick them all. David wasn't afraid he'd miss. He just wanted to hit all 5 of them if he had to. But after the brothers saw the accuracy with which David used the slingshot, they were discouraged in their defense of Goliath. And so, immediately, David was the darling of all of the land. Saul brought David to the White House of the day, honored him. He called him at halftime from the White House, congratulated him after the game was over. You folks that don't know sports are just in darkness now. You don't have to know your Bible around here, but you've got to know sports to enjoy the services. And so David was given honors and awards from Saul and others. And immediately, the people wanted David to be their king. The ladies began to sing, and they sang a song. Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. Saul didn't like that. David liked it, but Saul didn't like that. The people wanted David to be their king. There are several reasons they wanted David to be their king. They heard the singing of David's choir. They heard David and he played the harp. And they knew there was something joyous about being a part of King David's forces. They saw the faces of the men who fought for King David. And they saw in their faces something they wanted. They noticed also that Saul was oppressing them more and more. And as Saul would oppress more the people, they would clamor for David to be their king. David, not many folks knew that David had been anointed to someday be the king. David knew it, and Samuel knew it. But the people clamored for David to become their king. Yet Saul was still on the throne. The natural leader chosen by God to succeed Saul was David. Abner was, what was Abner? He was sort of, what do you call the head of the Democratic Party? Chairman. Yeah, he was the chairman of the party of the day. He was a fellow who was a president, moderator. He wasn't the king, but he was a fellow who had the power to set up the king. He was a fellow who had the power to get the man in office. And so Abner, when Saul died, the natural thing for Abner to do was to have David become the king of Israel. Because the people had clamored for David. They'd seen his men and they wanted to be like his men. They'd heard the singing and they liked the singing. They had felt the oppression of Saul and they wanted to get out from under the oppression of Saul and they wanted David. But for some strange reason, I don't know why, but for some strange reason, when Saul died, Abner didn't put David on the throne. He chose Ishbosheth. Good night, what a name. They called him Ishbo for short. But Ishbosheth, he was the son of Saul. And Abner anointed Ishbosheth as the king of most all of Israel. Now David was anointed king of a little fragmentation, a part of Judah, but not one-tenth, really, not one-tenth of the entire nation. And Abner placed Ishbosheth on the throne. Now why in the world did Abner do that? I can understand it. Why the entire nation had wanted David ever since he had fell Goliath. The entire nation had longed for the day when David would sit on the throne of Israel. He was the darling of all the people. He was the people's choice. He was the one the people wanted. He was the one the people thought could lead them from bondage and oppression to freedom and joy and from poverty to plenty. He's the one they wanted. But for some strange reason, Abner chose Ishbosheth. The nation deteriorated. Things went from bad to worse. And finally, Abner became sorry that he had done what he had done. He wished he had put David on the throne. Instead, he had put Ishbosheth. The Bible says the forces of David became stronger, and the forces of Saul became weaker, and David was the obvious man to lead them out of their bondage. You know, America, and I didn't intend to say this, we had the same thing here in America. We had one man in our generation that could have pulled this country out of its doldrums. There's been one living man in this generation that could have saved this nation if he'd ever been in the White House. And his name is General of the Army Douglas MacArthur. He is the greatest, was the biggest hope this country's had. And I think, personally, that our country started down toward where it is tonight when Mr. Truman took Mr. MacArthur from his power. The sad thing about this generation politically is that we never had a man like Douglas MacArthur in the White House. By the way, did you know that MacArthur, before he died, now this is a true story. I have it from witnesses, folks that were there and heard it. Mr. MacArthur, before he died, got a hold of my little book, Let's Go Soul Winning. How long ago did he die? I've forgotten how long ago it was. Five, six years? Anyway, he got a little copy of the Roman Road Plan of Salvation. Now, one of his men who was there told me this. And he believed it. And whether he was already saved or not, I don't know, but he did profess that he was saved. He called his staff in Japan together and told them about the Roman Road Plan of Salvation and told them that he wished every one of them would believe that plan and receive Christ as his personal Savior. Now, this was told to me by two witnesses who saw it. Now, I don't have their names. I think I can find out who they are. But two men told me this, and if it's not true, then they're the liars, because they told me that they were there. But anyway, David was the MacArthur. He was the man. He was the obvious man to lead the Israelites. He was a great man of battle. He was a great man of statesmanship. He was a great leader. He was a great man of talent. He was the one to whom the people looked. And Abner came and finally admitted he'd done wrong. And Abner said, "All right, now you want David to be your king. You've always wanted David." And they gave four words. "Now, then, do it. Now, then, do it." He said, "You've wanted David. Now then, do it. You've clamored for David. Now then, do it. You said you wanted David to sit on the throne. Now then, you've got your chance. Do it. Do it." Now follow me. David was anointed, as I preached last Sunday morning, three times. He was anointed the first time by Samuel during the story I told you a while ago. He was anointed the second time in Hebron when he became the king over a portion of Judah. He was anointed the third time, 7.5 years later, when he became the king over all of Israel. That's the event right here, when Abner said, "Now then, do it! Make me your king!" David served for 7.5 years as king of a part of Judah. After 7.5 years, he served for 33 years as the king of all of Israel. Now the sad thing about it is this. David should have been king during those 7.5 years. Abner, for 7.5 years, had put the wrong man on the throne. The wrong man had served as king, and the nation had gone down and down and down and down for 7.5 years. Now Abner comes and he says, "Okay, people, you've clamored for David. Here he is. Now then, do it. Now then, do it." Do what? Put him as king. You've wanted it. Now do it. I'm talking to someone here this evening who's always wanted to become a Christian. You've always wanted Jesus to be king of your life. You don't want to go to hell. You want to go to heaven when you die. You don't want to die without Christ. You don't want to spend eternity in the lake of fire, tormented with fire and brimstone. You someday want to walk golden streets and walk through gates of pearl. You want to go to heaven when you die. If I asked you, "Do you want to go to heaven?" you'd say yes. I say, "Are you saved?" you'd say no. I say, "You plan to die unsaved?" you'd say, "No, I don't plan to die unsaved. I want to be saved someday." Okay, I say to you, if you have not yet crowned Jesus king of your life, if you have not yet put him on the throne of your life, I say with Abner, "Now then, do it." You put it off long enough. The road of by and by leads to the city of never. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day might bring forth. He's being often reproved and hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I'm talking to someone tonight who plans to become a Christian someday. You want to be a Christian. You hope to be a Christian. You don't have any intentions of going to hell when you die. But you've never yet crowned Jesus as king of your life. You've watched the people of the king. You've watched God's people. You've noticed the smiles on their faces. You've heard the songs that they sing. You've seen the excitement that they feel. You've felt the assurance that they have. And you've wanted to become a child of God. Now then, do it! Now then, do it! Don't put it off. You do not know how long you have to live. Now then, do it! Now then, do it! You don't want Satan to rule your life forever. You don't want to be ruled by evil passions and wicked sin all of your life. You intend to become a Christian. Now then, do it! Now then, do it! In God's name, how foolish can a person be to live in 1972 with cancer and atomic war and bombs and jet planes and heart attacks and revolution and all the rest of it? How foolish can you be to live in 1972, not even knowing your heart you're going to heaven when you die? I say, if you ever plan to become a Christian, now then, do it. If you ever plan to get saved, now then, do it. That's one reason why we put out the urgency Sunday morning and Sunday night. That's one reason why we spread across this great area trying to win folks to Christ. Why? We don't know how long we're going to have before the final end time comes, or before the trumpet of God's going to sound. And if that is prolonged, you don't know how long you're going to have. Your life is snuffed out just like that. 2-week-old baby found dead this morning. One of our own babies from our nursery would have been in our nursery this morning, but they found him dead in his crib. One of our ladies called this afternoon, said her mother died today, having a funeral Tuesday. A young man walked in my office this morning after the service. His wife, this time last week, was as well as you or I. 23 years of age. Suddenly a bubble developed on her arteries. and died. Precious little boy, looked like he's about 2 or 3 years of age, left without a mother. And the nice, fine husband left without his wife. He came to my office this morning and told me about it. No warning at all. You don't know when you're going to be taken. In God's name, if you ever plan to get saved, now then do it. Now then do it. Now then do it. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. You don't know when your life is going to be taken. The swerving of a car, the flashing of steel, the spilling of blood, the hurry of an ambulance, the running to the hospital emergency ward, the stopping of the blood, the transfusion. You don't know whether you'll be next or not. Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time. Oh, then be wise. Be saved. Oh, tonight. Now then do it. Now then do it. I could stand here this evening and for the rest of this evening till midnight and past and tell you story after story after story of people that have sat in services like this who fully intended to get saved someday, who fully intended to be saved, never intended to die without God, but who said tomorrow, mañana, not today, but tomorrow. They went out those doors never to walk back through those doors again. I recall that policeman that came several years ago inside our services. I preached and prayed that he be saved. His wife prayed that he be saved. Friends and loved ones prayed. He walked out the doors without God that morning. Oh, he thought he had plenty of time. He had no intention of dying without God. He was going to be saved someday. He walked out the doors and said later, not today, but later. Went right over here to a washateria less than 2 blocks from where I'm standing right now. And that week during the night, he was murdered in cold blood. Lost! Forever! Why? Because he didn't heed the words of the preacher who said, now then do it! Now then do it! You plan to crown him as king. If you plan to accept him on the throne of your heart, you plan to go to heaven someday in God's name. Do it now, do it now, do it now. Young man walked down the aisle of the church I pastored after the service one night. I said, Bobby, you should have been saved tonight. Young man, 23 years of age. Bobby, you should have been saved tonight. He said, I've got plenty of time. I'm just a kid. I'm going to live it up. He walked out the door without God. He planned to get saved. He planned to crown Jesus as king of his heart. Walked out the door that night, drove less than 10 miles across town. A drunk driver came over a hill, got in his lane, hit him head on, and Bobby Flowers was killed in a moment. Lost! Forever! Lost! Forever! Because he didn't heed the admonition of God's man who said, now then, do it. Now then, do it. You don't know what lurks in the shadows of your life tonight. You don't know what will be in the road on the way home tonight. You don't know the pain that will hit your chest maybe tonight. You don't know. You don't know you'll be here tomorrow. You're a fool to live without God. Now, if you don't believe in God, I'm not talking to you right now. Well, later. If you don't believe there is a God, I'm not addressing myself to you right now. But I am talking to those of you that plan to be saved. You believe in God. You believe this book. You believe in heaven. You believe in hell. You believe that someday you're going to have to go to heaven or hell. And you plan to be saved someday, mañana, tomorrow, later on. You don't know you'll have a later on. Now then, do it. Now then, do it. I was down at Murfreesboro, Tennessee, preaching Thursday morning. I finished preaching. We had an unusual service. Towards about 10 minutes before I got through preaching, a fellow jumped up over here, about halfway back, and ran down the aisle and threw himself on his face and began to weep. Soon a lady came down this aisle. I was still preaching. And while I was preaching the last 10 minutes of my sermon, folks were just coming down the aisle. An invitation. I didn't give an invitation. I didn't tell them to come, but they just kept coming. Wasn't long till folks were weeping and all over the altar and all over the building. Blessings of God were obviously there. One lady said to me she hadn't seen a service like that in 40 years. After I finished preaching, invitation was over. Man walked up to me. He was trembling like that. He said, it happens every time I hear you. I said, what do you mean? He said, preacher, every time I hear you, it happens. He said, I hear you on the radio every week. And he said, I wouldn't miss you. But he said, you're the only preacher that I ever hear that makes me tremble when I hear you. Why? He said, I can hear your voice and tremble.
He said, you move me when you preach. While you preach, something goes on in here.
He said, now, I talked to you 4 or 5 years ago, Reverend Hyams. He said, I'm not saved. I told you then I wasn't saved. But he said, Reverend, you're the only man that makes me feel like I ought to be saved. I can hear your voice. There's something in your voice that makes me tremble and weep. He said, why can't I be saved? I said, you can. You can. You can. He said, well, how? I said, do it. Bible didn't say whosoever cries. Bible didn't say whosoever singles. Bible didn't say whosoever weeps. The Bible didn't say whosoever feels. The Bible has said whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You're not saved because you won't be saved, and you'll be saved when you will be saved. The will. When you say, I will receive Christ. I will come to God. I will trust Jesus. The moment your will makes contact with God, God makes you a new creature. You're not saved because it's not your time. It's not because that God hasn't convicted you yet. It's not because it's not the feeling that's not come in your soul. You are not saved because you want to be saved. And so David was the one they wanted. Someday David's going to be our king someday, but not today. David's going to sit on our throne someday, but not today. We're going to pay homage to King David someday, but not today. Someday, manana. Abner stands up before the people and says, you say you want David as your king. Now then, do it! And I say, if you say you want to be a Christian, do it! Now then, do it! Tonight! Don't walk out those doors and catch your never-dying soul plunging to a Christless eternity. Hopelessly lost forever. Do it! Do it tonight! Now then, do it. Mr. Moody was preaching in the great Moody Church in Chicago, years ago. One night he preached on what will you do with Jesus? Oh, the power of God was there. People swayed with his every word. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? He preached that night, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? When he finished his sermon, he told the great crowd to hearken to his voice. He said, ladies and gentlemen, there'll be no invitation tonight. You've heard the question, what will you do with Jesus? We're going to have a closing prayer. Walk out the doors. Come back next Sunday, 1 week from tonight at this time. 1 week from tonight, come back at this time. I'm not sure it was Sunday night, but it was evening service. Great crowd of people. And he said, come back 1 week from tonight with your decision. What will you do with Jesus? He dismissed the service. The last person had not gotten out the door. So the sirens of the fire trucks began to fill Chicago and the great Chicago fire was started. It is said that hundreds of the people in that service that night never came back. And numbers were killed, destroyed in the great Chicago fire. And Mr. Moody threw his head in his hands and he said, oh my God, I'll never give folks 7 days again. I'll never tell folks to come back and with a decision. I'll say decide tonight. Now then do it. Now then do it. Now then do it. What folly. What folly. How foolish, how ridiculous. For a person to live with the uncertainty of life and the certainty of death in 1972 and not know in his heart, Jesus is king of his life. Now then, do it. Young child, you don't know that you'll have an adolescence. Now then, do it. Teenager, you don't know that you'll live to be an adult. Now then, do it. Young married lady, you don't know that you'll be a middle-aged lady. Now then, do it. Middle-aged man, you don't know you'll live to be a senior citizen. Now then, do it. Now then, do it. But I'm hastening to talk to the saved for a while. To God's people. Yes, you like David of old, or you like the Samuel of old, have anointed David as king. You're saved. But he's not ruling over the whole country. 7.5 years. Are you listening? For 7.5 years, David ought to have been on the throne ruling everything. but he was stuck back in a corner ruling less than one-tenth of the nation that was rightly his. Now, you listen to me tonight. You listen to me. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that Jesus reigns on the throne of your life.
We want David! We want David! We want David!
Well, now then, do it. Far too many people are like the Israelites. David someday will be king over all our nation, but not today. We want David king over a little bit today. I visited a home in this church when I first came here. The blinds were open and the shade was up and I could see through the window. I knocked on the door, nobody came. I knocked again, nobody came. Finally, I heard a lady say, "Hurry, hurry." The little girl said, "What, Mommy?" She said, "Get this junk out of here. Hurry, hurry." And they pushed all the junk back into the rooms. Living room was beautiful. All the time they came to the door, the living room was just beautiful. And when I got in, I said, "Do you have a lovely home?" "Thank you." "You sure keep it clean?" "Thank you. We try. Could I see all of it?" "Well, it's all like this." "Well," I said, "I just love beautiful homes. Could I see the bedroom? The kitchen?" She said, "You could," but she said, "You wouldn't want to." I said, "Yes, I want to." She said, "Okay. Here it is." She opened the bedroom. Beds weren't made. Bedroom door, beds weren't made. Paper all over the floor. She opened the door to the kitchen. Dishes were all everywhere. I mean, all over, some on the floor. Dog hadn't had his dishes washed since last litter. I mean, just filthy.
"Ah, come in, Pastor. Living room is nice, but how about your den? Living room is nice, but how about the bedroom? Living room is nice, but how about the kitchen? I'm simply saying there are people all over this house tonight who, like Israel of old, you found the king
over just a little portion of your life. That's all. That's not all that God wants to rule over. He wants to rule over your whole life.
David! We want David to be our king. We love the looks of the on the faces of his people. We love to hear the singing. We are oppressed by Saul and now Ishbosheth. We want David, but not now. We want David. Someday, we're going to give all to David, but not now. Someday, David will rule over all of our country, but not now.
You know, you're just almost as foolish. Boys on the second row, you listen to me while I preach. You're just as foolish almost as the lost man. There are folks tonight in this room who someday are going to serve God. Now then, do it. Someday you're going to give everything to God. Now then, do it. Someday you're going to have a bus route. Now then, do it. Someday you're going to have a Sunday school class. Now then, do it. Someday you're going to sacrifice. Now then, do it. Someday you're going to give all. Now then, do it. Someday you're going to crown Him as Lord of your life. Now then, do it. Tonight, now, do it now. We may not have it tomorrow. God's people love to hear a preacher preach, warning the heathen to get saved, warning the unsaved to be saved, because you don't know if you'll be alive tomorrow. Well, the saved don't know it either. The saved don't know it either. For 13 years I pastored this church. I walked through that door, or the doors over the old building, thousands of times. I have not one time ever walked through a door leading into the auditorium and preached to you without saying this statement to God before I walk over the threshold. Dear God, let me preach in this service as it were the last sermon I'd ever preach. Why? I don't know that I'll be here Wednesday night. I don't know I'll be here next Sunday. All I know is I'm here now. Now then I've got to plead. Now then I've got to preach. Now then I've got to work. Now then I've got to crown Him as King. Now then do it. We've got a lot of used to wuzzers and gonna beers. We need some nowers.
Now, I used to do it in Arkansas, but I do it now. Now, I'm going to do it when my kids are grown, but I'll do it now. Now, I'll do it when my baby is weaned, but I'll do it now. You don't know you will be here next Sunday. Crown him as king tonight. Let him have every area of your life now. Now, then, do it.
Next week, pardon me, this week, Democrats are convening Miami. At this moment, men and women, young people, and even children are working 18 to 24 hours a day for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is so Mr. McGovern can sleep in the White House. They've given themselves to it. It's their life. It's everything. There are people tonight who will work all night. Why? To try to put Mr. Humphrey in the White House. And by the way, 4 years ago this month, I never thought Mr. Humphrey would look so good. Never did. Man, the more I look at McGovern, the more I want to canonize Humphrey. I'd like to canonize McGovern. He says, I don't believe in preaching all politics in the pulpit. Then be careful and don't ever do it. Amen. Getting themselves. Mr. Wallace, McGovern, Humphrey, their people are giving themselves. And if the conventions are like previous conventions along about week's open now, you'll hear somebody get up and and nominate Mr. McGovern for president. And you'll all of a sudden see those demonstrations. Those people that don't believe in saying amen at church. Don't believe in showing emotion over religion. Don't believe in being fanatics over soul winning. Those staid Yankees. When I first came to Hammond, he said, we Yankees don't show it. I went to a ball game at the Civic Center, basketball game. I was sitting behind a man, just pulling for one team, I forget who it was, and his team scored a basket and got ahead. He reached down and got the hat that fell in front of him and grabs it with the brim, each hand on one side of the hat, different side of the hat. He lifted that hat. By the way, he had a northern accent. He didn't say you all. He lifted that hat high and said, "Whoopee!" And that he pulled that brim, and the hat stopped on the man's head, and the brim kept going. And so, they'll be saying, "We want the governor! We want the governor! We want the governor! We want the govern. We want the govern." And I say, why don't we say we want Jesus? Why in the world can't God's people get as excited about the gospel of grace as a bunch of communists can about electing a left-winger to be in the White House? But God would say we'll crown Jesus. Oh, someday you want to. Someday you plan to give all, but not today. Someday you plan to serve, but not today. Someday you plan to make him the king of your life, but not today. Now then, do it. Today is the day for David to be on the throne. David shouldn't be 7.5 years off the throne to which God has given him. He's been anointed with the anointing oil of the prophet Samuel. He has a right to that throne. It's his. To this day, it's called David's throne. Even when our Lord comes to rule again, he's going to rule on the throne of David. That throne belongs to David. That's not Ish-bosheth's throne. That's David's throne. He has a right to it. And brother and sister, God has a right to rule your life, too. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Crown him. Crown him. Yes, he'll be king someday. But he wants to be king today. Yes, the day is going to come when Jesus shall sit on the throne of David on Mount Zion. All the kingdoms of this world shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. 1,000 years, nation shall not know war and lift up sword against nation again. Knowledge of God shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Little child shall play at the hole with cockatrice den and lead a lion down the street, and they shall not hurt nor destroy it. All of his holy mountain, saith the Lord. Jesus is going to come, and Jesus is going to reign, and he is going to be King of kings and Lord of lords, and righteousness shall prevail. He is the king. He's been anointed as king, but wait a minute. He wants to reign tonight. He wants to reign your life and rule your life. Now then, do it. Now then, do it. You folks that don't come back on Wednesday night, now then, do it. You folks that don't even give God a dime out of every dollar you make, now then, do it. You folks that never read your Bible, now then, do it. You folks that never say your prayers, now then, do it. You folks that someday are going to quit your liquor, now then, do it. You folks that someday are going to quit your smoking, now then, do it. You folks that someday are going to get rid of your Playboy magazine, now then do it. You folks that someday are going to tell folks about Christ, now then do it. Now then, let Jesus reign on the throne of your life. Thinking this afternoon, if anybody ever deserved to reign, it's Jesus. The other day, I had an appointment. The appointment that left before that one, left about 15 minutes early. And I had about 15 minutes between appointments, and I was bushed. Bushed is a Greek word. It means pooped. And I was bushed. Or as some of you folks over in eastern part of the country say, bushed. Moses saw a burning bush. You go fishing in a creek. You don't go fishing in a creek. You get them in your neck. I was bushed. So I have a newspaper with me, and I laid down on the chair. The chair leans back, and I've always wanted to be an executive. So I laid back in the chair and put my head on the chair and put my feet up on the desk. I've always wanted to do that. Take a letter, Mr. McKinney. You know, I've always wanted to be like that. And so I leaned back, and I read the sport page for 15 minutes. And I went off to sleep. So I knocked on the door, and I went to the door, and there's an extra point. I said, I'm sorry. I've been asleep. And the person was very kind and said, if anybody deserves a little rest, preacher, it's you. And that's what I'm saying about Jesus. If anybody deserves to be king of our lives, it's Jesus. He came the first time, riding on the foal of an ass. He'll come the second time riding on a white stallion. He came the first time to have no place to lay his head. He comes the second time to bring us a mansion. He came the first time as a man acquainted with grief. He comes the second time in the splendor of his glory. He came the first time to the nail to cross. He comes the second time to rule on a throne. First time he came, he was a king. They said, behold, the king of the Jews. He said he was a king. But the king had no throne but a cross. He had no crown but a crown of thorns. He had no scepter but a bar of walking stick. He had no royal robe but a soldier's overcoat. He had no subjects but a jeering mob saying, crucify him, crucify him. He had no sign over him but a hand-painted sign made in ridicule. This is the king of the Jews. They spat upon him. They hated him. They plucked his beard. They drove nails in his hands and feet. They put a spear in his side. They put a crown of thorns on his head, and down from his head rolled the blood from his brow. They stripped him naked. They beat him with a cat of nine tails 39 times. You couldn't even tell his body was that of a human being. That's Jesus. He has a right to be king. He earned it. He has a right to expect you to crown him. You folks that someday are going to have him as king,
do it tonight. Now then, do it.
You folks that someday are going to be good Christians, now then, do it. You folks that plan, so you know there's joy in crowning him as king of your life. You know it. Now then, do it. Get it. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to wait till next year. Young people, you can crown him now. You have to wait till you're as old and senile as Howard Paradise to be a good Christian. You can do it now. You have to wait till you're as fat as Larry Stromberg. Do it now. Now then, do it. Now then, serve him. Now then, tithe. Now then, be clean. Now then, be pure. Now then, be dedicated. Now then, be a soul winner. Now then, come to church. Now then, read your Bible. Now then, pray. Now then, give to God. Now then, sacrifice. Now then, make him as king of your life. Now then, do it. Now then, do it. Now then, do it. Now then, do it. 7.5 years, Abner said, you've wanted him to be king, but never have found him. You planned that someday he would be king, and you knew that someday he would be king, but you never have crowned him yet. Now then, do it. I don't claim to be a good Christian. I make no pretense at being a Moody or a Spurgeon or a Payson or a Fletcher. I make no pretense at being a Praying Hyde or a David Brainerd. But I've come to the place in my life where I want him to be the king of all of it. All of it. What difference does it make how much money is in the bank? What difference does it make how many friends I've got? What difference does it make how popular I am? What difference does it make whether I pastor a great big church or not? The only thing that matters is the throne occupied with the king. Is he on the throne? Does he rule all of it? Does he rule my mind, my heart, my money, my personality, my pleasure? Is he on the throne? Who's on the throne in your heart tonight? Well, you say, I'm saved. I didn't say that. I didn't ask that. I asked, is he the king? Is he the king? I dare say the average person in this room tonight, if you confessed it honestly and if you saw it as God sees it, or told it as God sees it, I doubt if Jesus has any more of your life than David did of the kingdom that first 7.5 years. And Abner had to stand up and say, you've been talking all these years about David on the throne. But he's not there. You want David. You like the smiles on the countenance of the faces of his people. You love to hear the songs they sing and David playing on his harp. You're tired of the oppression, you say. You say you want David as king? There he is. Now then, do it. Now then, do it. Now then, do it. Why couldn't we sing in our hearts that great song that's been sung through the ages? All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him as Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, before him all majesty ascribe and crown him as Lord of all. Now then, do it. Let us pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Whenever you can afford it, you plan the tithes, don't you? Now then, do it. Whenever you can find time, you plan to read your Bible every day, don't you? Now then, do it. Whenever you have time and not so busy, you're going to spend some time in prayer every day, aren't you? Now then, do it. One of these days, you're going to really start winning souls, aren't you? Now then, do it. One of these days, you plan to make Jesus king of your whole life, don't you? Now then, do it. Oh, Israel, why should you languish with Ishbosheth on the throne when David has been anointed as king and you say you want him? Put him on the throne now. And oh, people of God, why should you give anything less than the throne of your life to Jesus Christ? Crown him tonight. Crown him tonight. Crown him tonight as the king of your life. Let him rule your pleasures. Let him rule your time. Let him rule your pocketbook. Let him rule your schedule. Let him rule your life. Crown him as Lord of all. Not just the living room, but the kitchen and the den and the bedroom. Not just the living room, but the bathroom, the porch, and the parlor, and the dining room. Crown him as Lord of all. Then there are those tonight who have never put him on the, you never anointed him as king of your life. You never trusted him as Savior. You plan to be saved someday. Now then do it. You don't intend to go to hell. Now then do it. You intend to go to heaven someday. Now then do it. You intend to be saved. Now then do it. You can be saved tonight. First, may I ask you this question. How many of you would say, Brother Hiles, I have already made Jesus king of my life, but he doesn't rule all of it. It's sort of like David was. David had just about a tenth of Israel when he should have had it all. I'm saved, but he's not the king of all of me tonight. He's not ruling all of me tonight. And I confess it. And I want you to pray for me. Yes, I'm saved, but I have not given to Jesus everything. Oh, I like that song, I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Young people, does he rule your record album tonight? Is he the king of your radio? Is he the king of your television set? Men, is he the king of your refrigerator? Ladies, is he the king of your reading material? Is he the king of your tongue? The king of your mind? The king of your money? I belong to the king. So do you. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I'm a Christian. I know it. But I'll tell you what. Jesus Christ does not rule all of the country of my heart and life tonight. And I confess it and ask you to pray with me. Would you lift your hand, please, for prayer? Would you keep your hands up just for a moment? Our Heavenly Father, may he be crowned tonight. May every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Help us now then to do it. Bless these dear ones. May dirty records be thrown away tonight. May dirty books be burned. Dirty magazines be destroyed. May gossiping tongues be quietened. May cursing lips be hushed and profane tongues be stilled. May tonight we say, Dear Jesus, come into all of my life and be king of all. Let the King of glory come in. Bless these dear ones. Heads are bowed. Tonight, you can put your hands down. God bless you. Tonight, we're going to sing in a minute. Somebody ought to leave some cigarettes on this altar. Somebody ought to come and say just to God, Dear God, out goes my dirty magazines. Out goes my trashy television programs. Out goes the garbage I've been listening to on the radio. Out goes the robbing God of his tithes. Out goes my gossip. Out goes my cursing. Out goes my sin. Out goes my lustful nature. I'm going to let Jesus rule. You come and pray at the altar when we sing. First, how many can say with the Hiles, someday I want to be a Christian, but I'm not tonight. I don't know that I'm saved, but I wish I did. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? I'll pray for you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. I see your hand. Yes, I see you too. God bless you. Who else anywhere in the building? Say, pray for me. Someday I want to be a Christian, but I'm not tonight. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? Way up high. Yes, God bless you in the balcony. You can put your hand down. I see you, sir. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. I see that hand. Over here. God bless you, son. I see your hand. Who else will say, pray for me too? I want to be a Christian. I'm not, but I want to be. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand, please? Quickly, would you raise it? Our Heavenly Father, these half dozen hands represent a half a dozen people that need Christ. I pray tonight they'll say yes to Thee. May they not say, someday we want to have the King rule, but today we do. May they say, we'll now then do it. We'll now then do it. Our heads are bowed. You can become a Christian tonight by exercising your will. You're a sinner. Jesus paid the penalty on the cross for your sins. He offers you a home in heaven if you will accept it. If you in your heart tonight will say, I know I'm a sinner. I know Jesus died in my place. I know He wants to take me to heaven, and I will tonight receive His gift of eternal life. If you will, He'll make you His child. You say, how will you feel? It doesn't matter how you feel. It's whom did you trust? You'll say, I will. Now, in just a moment, we're going to stand and sing. I want you to come from the balcony on the lower floor. I want you to come down this aisle. Give me your hand and let me know that tonight you are, with your will, you're trusting Jesus as your Savior. This is the night for you. This is the night for you. You put it off long enough. You waited long enough. Tonight, you're going to take care of it. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. You come. There are those tonight who want to come and get baptized. You come. There are those who ought to join a church like this. You come. By all means, leave your seat. Come toward the aisle. If you're coming for salvation, church membership, or baptism, I want to take your hand myself here at the front. If you're coming just to say that I'm a Christian, but He's not ruling over all of my life, tonight I'm going to crown Him as the King of my entire life. You come and tell God about it. Or if there's some area in which He's not ruling tonight, and you want to come and leave those sins at the altar, you come. Father, bless the invitation. We give it to Thee. Amen. Shall we stand, please? The choir will sing All to Jesus. That's it. All to Jesus. That's the story right there. I surrender all to Him I freely give. That's it. That's it. Now then, do it while we sing.